Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The FT.
One evening last week, I was in the kitchen fixing myself a cup of tea when my son put his head around the door. I'd hardly seen him since he left school last summer, as he spends his days working in a sandwich shop and his nights taking orders in a fast food takeaway. "How's it going?" I asked. "Good," he replied. "These jobs of yours," I said, "have they taught you anything interesting about work or life or about anything?" "Yeah," he said. "They've taught me I like getting paid." My question was prompted by a recent Harvard Business Review blog arguing that humble jobs teach young people more about work than any amount of poncing around as an unpaid intern in a film production company. The author, who's now a law school professor, was once a busboy and a cleaner, jobs which he says taught him lessons that have come in handy ever since. Already I was seeing the sense in his general argument. My son's first key takeaway from the takeaway restaurant was spot on. Getting paid really is nice. It's only a pity that most of us get so used to it that we forget to be pleased when payday comes around. So what else has he learned? He said he'd think about it and tell me later. For now, he had to go or he'd be late for his evening shift. This led to his second revelation. If you're only earning £7 an hour, you need to work longer than an investment banker to make any money at all. And that, in turn, led to another observation. Earning the minimum wage makes you grateful to live at home, where there's a warm bed and foolish fridge. For everyone else, it's a game of survival, and he doesn't understand how they manage. Later that evening, I got a text from him saying that the restaurant was quiet and we could talk. So I went over to find the place entirely empty apart from my son, who was loafing around by the till. This led to his fourth revelation. Doing nothing sucks. It's the worst thing there is. It makes you so lethargic that when things get busier, you can hardly bring yourself to budge. "Aren't you also learning how to be professional?" I asked, leading the witness outrageously. "Obvs," he replied. And then came lesson number 5. You have to be punctual and reliable. You mustn't swear or turn your back on customers or answer them back. If you have a hangover, you still have to get to work on time and you have to pretend that you feel fine. Listening to him recite this list led me to contribute an insight of my own. A fast food restaurant is an excellent finishing school. It has succeeded in areas where 18 years of liberal parenting and 7 years of hugely expensive private education have made little impression. Yet even though he's learnt how to be civil to customers, he's not learnt to like it. In fact, what he's discovered is that dealing with customers can suck too. Some of them are friendly, but there are lots who don't even look at you, and that gets to you after a while. Then my son looked anxiously at his watch and said his boss would be in soon. "But I thought you told me you liked him," I protested. He shrugged. "He's okay. In the beginning we went for a drink after the shift, but he decides how many hours I work and he blames me for stuff like not ordering new menus when that's not even my job. So drinking with him feels weird." In other words, he's learnt invaluable lesson number 8. Being friends with your manager is never a good idea. Before I left him, I told him that his lessons bore no resemblance to the ones drawn by the HBR blogger, whose stint doing humble jobs taught him great truths about humanity, that most people want to take pride in their work, and that everyone has big dreams. What did he think of that? My son pointed out that it's hard to take pride in your work when the restaurant is doing badly and the manager doesn't care. But even with good management, some people are still useless moaners, which led him to lesson 9. Working with whingers is rubbish. So what should be done about them, I asked. He looked at me as if I were an idiot. Effing fire them, he said, momentarily forgetting lesson number 5. And what about dreams? Yeah, he said, everyone here dreams. Slightly dreading his answer, I asked what were his. To my relief, he replied, to get into university and to get a skilled job.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.